Chapter 2. Uncle Gordon. I like Uncle Gordon. He's Mum's older brother. He's got really short hair and a beard. His hair's always cut neat and short because he's got male pattern baldness, so if it was long, it would make everyone notice that his forehead is huge. He's also quite big. Because he's tall, he doesn't look fat, but he is putting on weight. Mainly because he lives off Krusty Kreme donuts and hot chocolate, that plus beer and pizza. Mum called it irresponsible living. But he just doesn't worry about the things most people do, like what clothes he wears, and reading the news, and money, and what car he can afford, and seeing new films. He's also quite fun. He doesn't work either. Not like what Mum called a proper job. He used to. He got a physics degree at university ages ago. But after he left, he played in a band. It was called Marked Card. They toured the UK, he said, and put out one album. It was so long ago, it wasn't even a CD. It was vinyl. Before vinyl came back into fashion. I've listened to it. And it's so bad. He keeps saying he'll put it on a download site for retro music. But there are legal problems with doing that. All the old band members would have to agree. And none of them have talked to each other for 20 years. Too many artistic differences, Uncle Gordon says. Now that's real rock and roll. Which is quite cool, actually. After Marked Card broke up, he worked as a roadie for other bands. Thanks to his physics degree, he wound up handling a lot of the sound systems and spent 7 years running the mixing desk at gigs. I earned good bread for that man, he told me once. That's how I bought my house. When he says house, he actually means cottage. It's the kind estate agents call a chocolate box cottage, with stone walls, a thatched roof, and exposed beams. Which would be nice, except he hasn't spent any money on it since he bought it. The thatched roof has been covered in a tarpaulin for the last 5 years, which now has its own moss. There's no central heating, just a big iron log burner stove in the lounge. That isn't quite as bad as it sounds. As it only has 2 rooms downstairs, the lounge and the kitchen, and 2 upstairs rooms, bedroom and bathroom. I haven't managed to get hold of your father yet, he told me when we were driving into the village where he lived. He's still in the air, I told him. The flight doesn't land for another hour. I don't suppose you remember which airline he's using. You know I do, Uncle Gordon. Yeah, just trying to keep you busy, man. I'm not very subtle, see? Sorry. It's okay. The tickets had been on Dad's desk the last time I'd been in his London flat, Rachel's hen weekend. I told Uncle Gordon the details, the flight numbers, the stopover in Dubai International. The time it was supposed to land at Male. You're an amazing boy, Jules. You know that, don't you? Really amazing. I looked at him, and he was crying. Thanks, Uncle Gordon. Mum always said you were the most reliable relative we had.
No, she didn't.
No, I agreed. She didn't. We both smiled at each other. Mum loved me, but sometimes I think Uncle Gordon is the only one who comes close to understanding me. I enjoy Uncle Gordon's lounge. The furniture is rubbish, but he's got 3 servers he's networked and a grid of screens above his desk. How's the e-business going? I asked.
Fine.
Do you want to go upstairs and sleep?
No, thanks. I don't think I would anyway.
Okay, man. You know best.
Have you broken 1 million yet? Sure, first week every month. I grinned.
In Zimbabwe dollars?
In Zimbabwe dollars, he agreed.
Uncle Gordon sells audio accessories online. Not headphones and cables and stuff like you can get off Amazon. He specializes in the kind of stuff bands use. It's what he knows best. Some of it he picks up on eBay and other web sellers. For new stuff, he has suppliers in China and South Korea and America and other countries as well. It's all done by automated collect-and-drop management software that he runs on the servers. Some months, he does make some serious money. Most he doesn't.
Have the BBC said yes this time? I asked.
Every year, Uncle Gordon applies to go on The Apprentice. He wants to build the business up to rival Amazon. He hasn't been accepted yet.
Nah, man, he said sadly. My idea's too big. It scares them.
They'll do it next year. They can't keep turning you down.
I know.
Jules, do you want to talk about it?
No, it's in my head, Uncle Gordon. It's never going to go away. Talking won't help.
I get it. You must be starving. Let's get some brunch.
I hate brunch. You either have a late breakfast or early lunch.
Brunch means you're missing a meal. It means you haven't planned your day properly. Mum never did that. She always made sure meals came at the right time.
Can we go down to the pub for a pizza? I asked.
Afraid not.
Why? Has it changed landlords?
The landlord of the village pub is Italian. He makes the best pizzas.
Uncle Gordon rolled one of his own cigarettes. He says he uses spinach leaves instead of tobacco.
Nah, just a bit of a problem with my slate. I've not got much of the old folding stuff right now, see?
I'm sorry.
He lit the cigarette.
Don't be.
There's some frozen oven chips and I've got some eggs.
That's fine.
So, breakfast was egg and chips. The eggs were from the hens that he keeps in a big coop he built on the front lawn. It's a bit crude, made from wood posts that don't match. He's always getting letters from the parish council about appearances and aesthetics of the village.
Bunch of twats, Uncle Gordon calls them.
Retired men with way too much time on their hands. It's people like them who started the Nazi party, you know.
That's not really true. I checked on the internet. But Uncle Gordon stands up for himself. I like that. I want to be like him when I grow up, standing up to Scrap Owen and Mods Hafler, but with a proper job in science, inventing something that helps people everywhere, not just some consumerist gadget.
Uncle Gordon finally got through to Dad at the honeymoon hotel just after they arrived.
Oh, Christ, son, I'm so sorry, Dad said when Uncle Gordon handed me the phone.
How are you?
I'm with Uncle Gordon.
I know that, but are you okay?
People always ask that when something serious happens. I think they see characters on TV doing it and believe they have to do the same.
What does it matter to someone else how I feel? Unless they're trying to hurt me, in which case it makes them happy.
And what good does knowing make? It's not like they can do anything to change it. Especially when I was in Lincolnshire and they were in the Maldives.
It'll be all right. The police told me it was instant. Mum didn't suffer. They said that was good.
Okay, son, you hang tight there, okay? Remember, it's smart to be strong. You're my boy and I'll come home soon. And we'll get through this together, okay? You won't be alone. Promise. I'll get tickets on the first plane out of here. I heard her, Rachel, faint and in the background. She said,
Really? Dave, we just got here.
Shut it, Dad said to her. I could tell he was turned away from the phone.
Thanks, Dad.
I'll find out about flights right away. You can rely on me, son. Uncle Gordon brought the wrong socks. Before we left our house, he'd shoved some of my clothes into the bag I used when I went to visit Dad. One of those small ones that just fit in the overhead lockers in airplanes. He saw me sitting on the edge of the sofa bed we'd unfolded to give me somewhere to sleep that night. I was holding up the socks, two pairs.
How you getting on there, man?
He asked, his voice all soft and full of concern.
You brought Tuesday and Friday, I told him.
What's that?
I held up the socks. I always have the socks which mark the days of the week written on them. Mum knew I liked them, so she brought them from Marks and Spencer specially, with the day on them. There's no getting them messed up or having odd socks.
Tuesday, I said, shaking the Tuesday pair for emphasis. Tomorrow's Monday.
Oh, man, I don't think Monday's going to mind.
I mind, I told him loudly. It's not right. It's Monday tomorrow, and I haven't got Monday's socks.
When I say stuff like that, about how things should be ordered properly, people look at me like I'm a stupid, not them. Uncle Gordon didn't. He looked upset, because he knew it was important to me.
I'm sorry, man, he said, and came and sat down beside me.
It's Monday, I told him.
I thought I was going to cry. He put his arm around my shoulder.
Tell you what, tomorrow morning you go all reckless and wild. Be sockless. I'll do it too, okay? The pair of us together. That'll be matching, see? And we'll take a trip into town and see if we can find some Monday socks. Hell, we'll find a whole week of socks. That way you'll be covered.
I leant in against him, and he gave me a gentle pat. Nobody understands me as good as Uncle Gordon. I know that's a fact, because I remember how everyone treats me.